Well, welcome to the Berean Christian School 2008-2009 commencement ceremony. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Father God, we do thank you, Lord, that you've given us this day. Lord, we thank you for our school. We thank you for the freedom that we have in the United States to have a Christian school, to be able to train up our children in the commandments of God, in the way of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to recognize Rachel tonight as she has completed her education here and is looking forward to a life that lays before her. And Lord, I pray that you might bless her tonight, and we pray that you might bless her throughout her life. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory for all that you're going to do and the way in which you're going to work. For it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated at this time. Well, tonight it is an honor to have Rachel graduating. She started school here at Berean 9 years ago, just as I came on as principal at Berean. So we've been through this together. It's been a real pleasure and a joy to see as she has matured into a godly young woman, to see as she's been able to overcome a lot of obstacles in her life and through her studies. And it is with joy that we look forward to the things that she has before her. So if you would please, welcome tonight, Rachel Miner.
Friends, family, and fellow students, I would like to thank you all for coming to share in this special day, especially my family that has traveled from Michigan and central Illinois just to be here. There are some people, however, who deserve more recognition. First, my parents. Without you, I would not be here today. You placed me in a school where I could grow and become the woman God wants me to be. You encouraged me in my schoolwork, even when you had to ground me from other things. Whenever I felt sick, you told me to top it out and go to school, effectively ruining the only good thing about being sick. I also want to thank my little brother for being there for me. Ray, whether you were helping me blow off steam when I was angry or comforting me when I was sick or sad, or just plain old annoying me, you have always been and will always be a very important person in my life. I would also like to thank all the teachers I've had. All of my teachers have helped instill in me a love of learning. They have encouraged me through my years at Berean. Mrs. Steve, you were my very first teacher here at Berean in fourth grade. Under your guidance, I was able to complete over 100 paces. Mrs. White, you taught me some great lessons during Christian leadership training. I can still remember those animal character trait stories you would tell us. Mrs. Daniels, you were one of the teachers that really inspired me. You helped instill in me my love of English and writing. Mrs. LeBrier, you have also truly inspired me. Your encouragement has helped me through all my years in high school. Mrs. Tallman and Mrs. Anson, you have both been very good friends to me through my time at BCS. Mr. Root, you have shown me the balance needed to be a teacher. You are always ready with a joke where it is needed and appropriate, while at the same time, you support the rules. Mom, as my teacher for 2 years, you have also shown me the balance of love and strictness needed to be a teacher. All of my teachers have been there for me, and each one has blessed me in their own way through my time in school. The most important one in my life who deserves thanks is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His influence in my life has made me who I am today. He has worked in my life, drawing me to the plans that he has for me. Most of us have been asked at least once what our favorite verse is. This past year, one verse in particular has come to mean a lot to me. Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This verse has shown me that God is concerned with everything going on in my life and that it's all part of his plan, both the good and the bad. During the past 2 years, I went through some hard times. However, throughout those years, Jeremiah 29:11 kept popping up and encouraging me. I found it in different areas of my life, from cards to necklaces. Through this verse, I have come to understand that when we look at circumstances in our lives, instead of focusing on the bad, we need to look for how God can use it for good to produce the ultimate good, coming to focus on and trust fully in him. As for my future, I plan, Lord willing, to go to Grace College in Indiana for a degree in elementary education. Since seventh grade, I have felt that God was calling me to teach younger children. I have always loved children and learning, and since a teacher learns as much from their students as their students from them, I decided to go to the other side of the school. That's right. I decided to join
the dark side.
Students, I would like to give you this bit of advice. Many of us look forward to the day that we leave school, or prison, whichever you want to call it. Honestly, I couldn't wait for the day I graduated. But looking back, I realize that my school days were some of the best of my life. I even almost took Mrs. Anton up on her offer to accidentally lose my transcript and send me back to ninth grade. Even though I wasn't overly happy about the schoolwork and some of the rules, like having to wear a skirt every day, I wouldn't trade my years at Berean for anything, not even some of the opportunities that public high school might have offered. If you really think about it, going to a school where we can learn about God and how to come closer to him is so much better in the long run than band or football or anything else. So when you feel tempted to complain about rules that are there for our safety and spiritual growth, instead, thank God for sending you to a school where you can learn how to follow him closely. In closing, I would like to thank you again for coming today. God bless.
Good evening, I'm Tom Bozeman, and I get the privilege of introducing our speaker for this evening. Many of you know Reverend Vanden Bosch. He's a friend of Edgemont, has spoken here on numerous occasions. He's the executive director of Concerned Christian Americans, educating the Christian community on civic issues and lobbying in Springfield, which he needs our prayers, you can imagine. But now I'd like to ask Pastor Vanden Bosch to come and just share with us what the Lord's laid on his heart. Pastor?
Thank you. It's good to be with you tonight. Congratulations. It's a great accomplishment to graduate from high school, and it'll change your life. I know that a lot of times it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much different, and you don't really know about it until you graduate, and then you find out what all you're missing. And yet, you made it through another year of school. At least that's the way I always felt when I got through another year of school. I said, I made another year done. It's another year behind me, and one less to go. But congratulations to each of you on the staff as well that have helped in Rachel's accomplishment, her parents as well. It's a great, great time. Tonight we celebrate your graduation from high school. We call it a commencement. And so I'm going to give a commencement address for you. But it's not just for you, because it's really a commencement address for every one of us, because every one of us, as we walk out this door, will commence to live the rest of our lives. And so a commencement address really applies to every one of us. Deep down inside of you, I'm sure that you realize things are going to be different. Things are going to be changing. You go away to college, it's going to be a different life. And yet God is opening the doors for you. Your future lies ahead of you, and it's exciting to think of what all God can do. When you're young, you look ahead and you see all the different possibilities of what God can do. You don't know what he's going to do. Now, when you get to be old like me, then you look back instead and you say, this is a surprise, but it's exciting. And I want to tell you right now that living the Christian life is an adventure. And as you follow God's leading for your life, sometimes God's going to take you on twists and turns that you never anticipated, but it's exciting. And don't ever forget it. It's a great, great joy. It's a great, great privilege as well. You know, not everybody does the same thing. I'm excited to hear that you're going to be a teacher. You're going to join the dark side. But it isn't so bad being on the dark side. I want to tell you that right now as well. It's exciting to have the opportunities before you to be able to have an influence on other people's lives. But I'm going to give you some advice tonight, some advice of how to live your life, and for every one of us, really, advice on how to live our lives. Learn to love the work that God has for you. You know, each day is a real joy. Most of the time, I don't know exactly what's going to happen that particular day. And as I look ahead, especially with my lobbying work right now, life is full of surprises. But you go ahead and you approach it with just an excitement about life and an excitement about the opportunities that are staring you in the face. But work is something that was ordained of God from the very beginning. God worked for 6 days before he rested. He rested the seventh day. And work is actually a blessing from God. Some people think work is a curse. Well, work became more difficult because of the curse that's upon the earth, but work itself is a blessing from God. Learn to value and to make friends. Learn to value those friends. Everywhere I go, I have an opportunity to make friends. And it's exciting to be able to have those kinds of friends. It's exciting to be able to have people that'll support you, that'll encourage you. And if you make yourself friendly to others, you'll find that others will be friendly to you in turn. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There was a man who changed churches, and he went to a new church, and as he was leaving the church for the first time, he asked the pastor, he said, "Are the people here friendly?" And the pastor said, "Well, were they friendly at the last church?" He said, "No, they weren't." He said, "Well, then they won't be friendly here either." And so a lot of times the attitude that we approach other people with will have a real influence on the friendships that we have. Learn to love people. Learn to have compassion upon people. And you're going to have plenty of opportunity to do that as a teacher. Remember as well that learning is important, not just while you're in school, but learning is important every day of your life. Every day I learn new things. I learn new things about the Word of God. I learn new things about myself. I learn how to operate and how to do things in different ways. It's exciting. You know, my father went through 7 years of formal education. He was a farmer. But Dad was the chairman of the church board. Dad was the chairman of the Christian school board. Dad was on a Christian college board. Dad was on the boards of 2 of the gospel missions. Dad was on board of another mission as well. Dad had all kinds of opportunities before him. And Dad just was a man who just kept reading and studying. In fact, when my father passed away, it was said of my father, he was a pastor. He was just never ordained. And so every one of us has that opportunity in our own lives. Continue to learn every single day. In fact, I really kind of look at it this way. If I ever stop learning, I've died. Because God gives me that opportunity to be able to learn on a daily basis. It's exciting. Learn to face problems. You are going to run into problems in your life. You're talking like you've experienced some problems before as well. But every one of us is going to have problems and face problems. Problems are really an opportunity to grow. Sometimes we look at them and we go, "Oh no, problems." Back many years ago, I was a salesman for construction equipment. And a customer would call me when I first started. They'd call me and say, "You know, I'm having a problem with this equipment." And I'd say, "Oh no." But as I went along, I realized that when a customer had a problem with his equipment, it was an opportunity for a sale. And so I began to look forward to those problems. And God gives us opportunities in our lives as well. In the Christian life, when you have a problem, learn from it. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that chastening is profitable unto those who are exercised thereby. And so God wants us to learn from the problems that we face in our lives. Understand also the gift of family that God has given you. It is precious to have that wonderful, wonderful gift of a family. God has placed you in the family that He wanted you to be in. God has given you the parents that He wanted you to have. Your family is no surprise to God. And you are no surprise to God. And to what's happening in your life is no surprise to God. Children are a heritage from the Lord. You are God's blessing to your parents. Be a blessing to them. Fill your heart and fill your life with love and with laughter. You've heard the saying, vinegar doesn't draw flies. Honey draws flies. Well, if there's anybody in the world that can have a life of happiness, it's a Christian. We have a future. God has a plan for our lives. We can trust God to lead us and to guide us with our lives. My mom had hip replacement surgery about a year and a half ago, and I was riding to the hospital with her at 5 o'clock in the morning, and when she was going in for the prep for her surgery, and we were driving to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and mom turned to me and she said, "You really love life, don't you?" I said, "Well, yeah, I do." She said, "Well, your dad was that way too." And, you know, it is exciting. God gives us an opportunity. But I believe this. As Christians, our lives ought to be so attractive to the world that the world hungers and thirsts to have what we have as Christians. I hate it when I go someplace and I see people that are prune-faced. You know what I talk about? These people that have the scowl on their face all the time. You know, I tell people all the time, especially young people, the way your face is during your lifetime is the wrinkles you'll have when you get old. People will be able to look at you and tell you if you were a prune face all your life or if you were happy. They're going to see it. It's going to reflect on you. I have a joy in my heart. I'm able to have a spring in my step. I'm able to have a smile on my face. And if I'm able to do those things, there are going to be other people around me that are going to be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a reason for joy. I have a reason to be happy. God has given me a life that's worth living. God has given you a life that's worth living. He's given you a training and an understanding of the Word of God. You've trusted Christ as your Savior at a young age. That's only to your benefit because you have greater opportunities. I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old. And I wish that I would have been saved at a younger age. I wish I would have understood the gospel at a younger age, but I didn't. And so I went through some years of rebellion that I wish would have never happened in my life. You don't have to have that. And it's a great joy to have that. Have a dream for your life. Don't live your life without purpose. You're looking ahead and saying, "I want to teach younger children." You know, when God has gifted you for something and as you study, God may take you and lead you in a little different path sometimes than you think. That's okay. But have a dream for your life. Have a goal for your life. And as God leads you along day by day, if God's plans are a little different than yours, He'll show you along the way. Or if God changes your plans, He'll show you along the way and He'll make it clear to you as you follow after Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Bible says, "And all these things shall be added unto you." When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 22 years old, that was the very first verse I learned. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The only thing I knew back then is I had trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't know what my future held. I knew nothing about my future. I had just graduated from high school. I was actually on a summer trip with some friends when I trusted Christ as my Savior on the way to California. But I knew this, if I sought God first, God was going to take care of what my future was going to be, what my occupation was going to be, whether I was going to have a wife, whether I was going to have a family. I'm 59 years old today, and I look back on those things, and I see how God has led and how God has been faithful to His Word. You have that to look forward to as well. You have that to anticipate, to see the faithfulness of God to His Word. David said, "My heart is set, O God. My heart is set." Set your heart on the things of God and follow after that wholeheartedly, and God will lead you and direct you in every other aspect of your life as well. You can trust Him for that. And so I want to encourage you. That's not just for Rachel. That's for every one of us. Have your heart set on the things of God. Learn to have gratitude. As you read the book of Romans chapter 1, you find in Romans chapter 1 that the very first sin that's listed in the downward spiral of sin is neither were they thankful. For too much of my life, I spent time taking things for granted. I assumed that I should be able to have the kinds of things that I did. I assumed that things should be able to go the way I wanted them to go for my life. And in my senior year of college, God just shook me up and showed me that that was not the case at all. And He took all those dreams that I had floating out there because I was unsaved. But He took all those dreams and He destroyed them so that I would come to Him. I didn't understand that at the time. But as I look back now, I can see how God worked in my life. God was so gracious to me to destroy those things that would not have been good for me. God is gracious to you. You have the opportunity to be able to look ahead and say, I want to set my heart on the things of God. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to seek His righteousness first, and God will take care of those things. You don't have to set dreams for things that are contrary to what God wants. Learn to give of yourself. Self-centered living defeats the purpose that God has for us on this earth. When you and I live for ourselves, we are unable to minister and truly minister to others. Oh, there may be some incidental ministry that we accomplish in the lives of other people just because there are certain things that we know from the Scriptures. But it's only as you truly give of yourself that you're really going to impact the lives of other people. We're told that God gives us spiritual gifts as He wills. God has given you certain spiritual gifts. Nothing that God has given you is for you to keep for yourself. It's for you to be able to reach out and minister to others. The same thing is true for all of us, isn't it? God didn't give you the spiritual gifts so that you could hang on to them for yourself, so that you and I could be great. God gave us spiritual gifts so that you and I can have a heart to be able to minister to other people, to be able to reach out, to be able to touch their lives, not just for time, but for all eternity. As a teacher of young children, you'll have tremendous opportunities to lead those young children to Jesus Christ. I'm excited for you on that prospect because, you know, there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's nobody more open than young children. Appreciate each day that God gives you. Take your days one day at a time. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some good days. Take them one day at a time. And just remember this. Every day that God gives you is a special gift from God. And as you look at life and realize that each day is a gift from God, it makes each day a special day in itself. Reach out with each day. Maximize each day. Because, you know, each day can be the last day of your life. The younger you are when you learn these things, the more you'll be able to accomplish with your life. Learn to live your life with love. Proverbs says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Let everything you do be tempered by love. When you speak, speak the truth in love. When you help others, Help others with love in your heart. One of the greatest pieces of advice that I've received from my predecessor in Springfield is, Bob, you need to learn to love the legislators. Because it's only when you really love them that you'll be able to minister to them. And when you love them, and you get somebody who gets upset with you because you killed one of their bills, you can take it. But you try to be gracious in everything that you do. Each of us, as adults, young people, or children, have been born to be unique. God has created each one of us different from everyone else. I had somebody tell me one time, well, you know, if you go ahead and you're going to follow God's leading for your life, we're all going to just be cookie cutter Christians. Let me tell you this. As you follow God's leading with your life, God will take Rachel's personality and He will bring it out and make it blossom. So that you can be everything God wants you to be. And that's really true for each one of us. As you follow God's leading, as you follow God's direction for your life, God will work in your life as you allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to work in your life. God will work in your life to transform you and to change you and make you become an incredible individual who's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people grow up having a dream, knowing what they're going to do with their lives. But sometimes when the dream takes a long time to fulfill or to come to fruition, it becomes dimmer and dimmer. For those of you that are here tonight and maybe your dream has gotten a little bit dim, focus in on what God wants for your life once again. Because as you walk out of the door tonight, it's going to be up to you to commence the rest of your life. The commencement is not just for Rachel, but the commencement is a challenge for each one of us as we walk out the doors tonight to accomplish more for the Lord Jesus Christ, to better serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to have hearts that are set on what it is that God wants us to do. God's plan for you began a long time before you were born. You were born to be remarkable. You were born to do things and to be in situations that no other Christian has been in an exactly identical situation. Yes, there are things that we learn, but God has different ministries. God has different relationships. You will have young people and you will have people who you will influence with your life that not another person in this church will ever touch. Because God has given you a mission field. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had a hand in your life before the foundations of the world. Ephesians 1 verses 4 to 6 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You can know this. The desire of God for your life is that your life be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You can know as well tonight that God's desire for you is that your life be conformed to the image of his Son. To let go of the dream, to let go of God's plan and God's purpose for your life, would be one of the greatest tragedies you could ever experience. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you seek him with your whole heart, God will lead you. God will guide you. God will direct you in the path that He wants you to go. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 5, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Father, we thank You tonight for Rachel's graduation. We thank You, Father, for Rachel, for her faith in Christ. We thank You, Lord, that You've already shown her that You have a plan for her to be able to teach others. And Lord, we don't know exactly how all that's going to work out, but we know, Lord, that You lead and that You guide and that You bring us to certain places in our lives so that we can be where You want us to be. We can do what You want us to do. And Father, we know, too, that You prepare our hearts. As Rachel walks from this place tonight as a high school graduate, as she steps forth to commence her life, help her to trust You, to follow Your leading, to follow Your guidance, so that in the day that she stands before You, she could hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Father, I'd ask that for each one of us tonight. That each one of us tonight would look for Your leading, Your direction, Your guidance. That each one of us tonight would set our hearts so that as we go from this building and commence the next days of our lives, that our hearts would be set to do what You want. Thank You, Lord, for Rachel's graduation. Bless her, lead her, guide her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At this time, if I could have the graduate rise. Presenting the diploma to Rachel tonight will be the director of our school, Pastor White, as well as the chairman of the school board, Tom Bozeman. There we go. Rachel Diane Miner. I present to you the graduating class of Berean Christian School 2009. And Pastor, if you would come and give us the benediction, please.
Actually, that's really too short a night. We're going to have an intermission. We'll be back in another 15 minutes with the next installment. All right. Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? And to do so, would you stand at this benediction? Okay. Father, we bow before You in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We know that in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that You have knit us in the wombs of our mother, and You brought us forth just as You did Rachel. We want to thank You that You are the one who guided that whole transaction, that You have guided her life to this point, and that You will not cease to guide her. For Your eye has been on her from before the foundation of the world. And we want to thank You for what You're doing in her life just now. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that You would bless her with good understanding, with discernment, with love, with joy, with a zeal for learning, just as we've heard about, that she might face each day with the excitement. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that she'll learn and value friends and have them and make them and keep them. Grant to her, Father, a strong viewpoint of her family and the family of the future for her. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, you'd make of her a mighty woman of God, strong in body, soul, and spirit, that you would grant to her, Father, a great victory over the sickness which has her. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you make her a sweet-tongued witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the words of her mouth will drip with wisdom, Father, and we want to thank you for that. Thank you for the kindness you've shown to us by letting us be in part of this ceremony tonight and to be with her in her commencement. For we recognize, Father, that we also are commencing this night. And we ask that your blessing would rest upon all these. We ask your blessing rest upon the rest of her family, that you'd encourage them and strengthen them in every way, that you cause them to walk in all the joy of the Lord. And now, Father, for all of us here, we ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, that we might do every good work pleasing in your sight, that we might be a light shining in the darkness that there is around us even this day. And to this end, we're going to give you praise as we pass this good word on to one another, directly from you, in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.